Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show, one of my favorite guests and somebody that you should all be following if you want to know the real dangers to our country and what is happening in terms of the controlled demolition of America. Welcome back, Dr. Carlin, to the show. Thank you for joining me.
Always happy to be here, Mel. Thank you for having me again.
Thank you. I find your work, Rob and I watch your work all the time, and it's truly amazing. What you do is so important. And I say this about because we do two different things, but we do one thing the same, which is I say, don't take my word for it. Go read their own stuff. Go to their own websites. Go look at what they're saying at their own events. They tell you the people that you are dealing with and that you expose are very forward about their plans. So first and foremost, I wanted to talk about what is the you oftentimes are saying that the real goal, all of this talk is about capitalism. I want you to define what exactly this socialist communist, a lot of people saw you shared online, a communist, a legit communist march in New York City last week, which people should be aware of is not a small thing. But so what is going on? Because there's a lot of false information out there. And if people don't know the enemy, then they have no shot. So just define that from the top.
Yeah. The number one goal of the woke left, the socialist left, the far left, because they all come from the same place, is to abolish capitalism. That is the only thing that they care about. And they define capitalism explicitly as private property ownership. Now, we have to go the next step and say, what do they mean when they say private property ownership? They mean your ability to own a home. They mean your ability to own land. They mean your ability to own properties that you rent out. They mean your ability to own a business. They mean intellectual property. They mean parental rights. They consider parental rights to be private property. That's why you see all the attacks on parental rights. And they consider your individual liberties to also be a form of private property.
Oh,
and
wow.
As you said, no one has to take my word for this because I literally have them on video saying all of these things.
Yeah, and they're very, very well organized. And I think that there's a big misconception out there about that these are just some like radical small groups of socialists and communists. But that's not the case. They actually are very well organized and they're spread all over. But they have the way that they do it is they don't centralize. So can you kind of explain their network and how embedded it is?
Yeah, so there are hundreds, maybe even thousands of collective groups across the United States right now that are focused on different areas. Now, listen, not all socialists, communists, Marxists are the same. They have different ideas. They have different things they're focused on. And so what they do is they form these little collective groups that allow them to do activism in their area. But one example I do want to bring people's attention to is just last week, we saw the launch of the Revolutionary Communist of America political party. Now, this is not a small deal. The organization that launched this, they used to go by the name International Marxist Tendency. They're now changing it to the Revolutionary Communist, like International, I think. But this is an organization that's been around since 1992. This is an international organization. They are entirely self-funded based on donations and book sales and event sales and all of these things. I cannot find any connection to George Soros or any of the other things. They are self-funded and they have an organized presence in over 30 United States cities. And they are not just in blue areas. They're in red areas too. And last week they launched to 2.3 million views on Twitter,
wow,
the Revolutionary Communist Political Party of America. And this is not even just in America, because we watched another video on my channel for my Socialism Saturday, where they're not only launching the political party in America, they're launching a new political party in Canada, in the United Kingdom, in Sweden, in Switzerland. They are literally coordinating an international effort. And what I think this is they're not using that political party to run candidates. They're actually very open about this. We're not using the political party to run candidates. This is the start of the communist revolution in America. They've gotten all their pieces on the chessboard. They've got their pawns moved around. They've got their kings, or their knights rather. They've surrounded the king, and wow, now they're making their move. And I'm not suggesting this is going to happen in the next year or two, because these things take time. But this is the organized effort to overthrow capitalism in America. And I very literally have them on video, Mel, and you saw this on Twitter. It's pinned to the top of my Twitter feed right now. We have them saying, here is how we're going to organize, and we are going to raise a red flag of communism above the White House.
Yes, they do. And they are getting louder and louder. Now, is there a typical, is it all races, classes, all of that? Or is there a specific kind of person that is part of this?
Well, it is all races. They welcome everyone. And it's funny because if you talk to people on the political right, normally they say the far left hates white people. They hate men. They hate everyone that's straight. No, they don't. They really don't. They hate capitalism first and foremost. So there are a ton of white people involved. There are a ton of men involved. There are people of all different variety. But, the biggest common denominator that these people usually have is they have a hatred for the American way of life. They think that this country is completely oppressive of normal people, and they very literally want to overthrow what they consider to be the capitalist government, the bourgeois government, and replace it with the dictatorship of the proletariat. And yeah. I should mention this too, because a mistake people make is they think that these people are like Bernie Sanders or AOC. In fact, the Revolutionary Communists of America specifically said when they launched their political party that they are doing this to rebuke Bernie Sanders and AOC because they feel betrayed by them. They feel that they've capitulated to capitalism.
Wow. Now, as far as capitalism and all the private property, do they believe that that property should be seized by the government? What do they think about the private property that exists right now?
They don't believe any private property should exist. So, as I said, they believe that the government should be able to provide homes for everyone. That means there are no privately owned homes. It means the government is assigning you your housing. They believe the government should be providing all health care, no private doctors, no private insurance. They believe the government should be providing all education. That means no private schooling, no homeschooling. They believe the government should be providing all energy. So the government's going to decide who can heat their homes in the winter, how much gas you get, where you get to travel, how you get to travel. They also believe the government should be providing all food. What that means is if you don't play by their rules, you don't eat. They right. very literally believe that every single thing should be collectivized. And beyond that, they believe that a collectivized approach where everyone owns everything is actually the natural state of the human being.
Wow. This is pretty, people have to understand this is not a small movement. This is a very big movement, and it's been filtered, as you've taught on this show before, through universities, education, schools of education, schools of social work, all of that. Now, you do have talked about the distinction between, because some people are confused. They think that Agenda 2030 and the 17 goals, a lot of the things I focus on, are related and they're not related. Do these people talk at all about that? Because it's also a good way for them to hide, is to kind of act like, well, that's, look at them, we're over here. What is the difference? And as far as I can tell from watching your show, they're aware that people are confusing them.
Oh, they're complete. It's actually funny because on the last episode of Socialism Saturday, I have to make a clip of this. They flat out said they were laughing at the idea that conservatives right. are confusing them with the WEF. And they're like, if they only knew how much we hate these people. And I'll be honest, because I've gone undercover at their events. I've heard them talk in private. They do not like the WEF. They do not like Klaus Schwab. They do not like any of these people. They think they're too close to capitalism. Now, where people get confused, and I do understand this, is it does seem as though the WEF and these people who I collectively call them the Radical Revolutionary Socialists, it seems as though they have the same goal. And because it seems like they have the same goal, people might assume that they're working together, but it's not like that. This is like two Major League Baseball teams both vying for the World Series. Well, they have the same goal. They're going to be approaching it in the same way, but it just means they're going to fight at some point. And for right. my money, and I'm not suggesting that the WEF is not a problem. I'm not suggesting that the globalist right. agenda is not a problem. I just think it's a separate problem. And I think the more immediate one that we're going to have to reckon with, purely because they do control the K-12 schools, they control the future generations,
right.
are the Radical Revolutionary Socialists, because they're the ones that are, again, They've actively formed a political party with the explicit goal of beginning the revolution here, right, now, right, today.
And it's very active on university campuses as well. All you have to do is look around. I saw you put up some flyers that are out there, and people are being attracted to it. Now, the other thing that we need to differentiate is that Blackstone, BlackRock, a lot of these companies are buying up single family homes all over the country with the you'll own nothing and be happy. Those people don't mean you'll own nothing and be happy and nobody will own anything. They mean they'll own everything and we'll just rent it. It's a very different thing than, but it sounds the same. So all, how do they feel about, they must hate the idea that all these hedge funds and stuff are buying up all the single family homes. That goes against what they want too, right?
I don't think they're even actually aware of that, to be honest. So the difference between the radical revolutionary socialists and that is that the radical revolutionary socialists don't believe people should be renting. They don't believe anyone should own anything. They believe everything should be provided for free for everyone. For free. Yeah. Which of course, nothing is ever free, right? But like you're gonna work for it in some way or another. But they very literally do talk about getting rid of money entirely. In fact, there's this elementary school class at the University of California School of Education where they're doing this months-long curriculum with like third graders where they're teaching them how to build a society entirely based on equity. Equity is code word for Marxism. Anytime you see that word come up, that is code for socialism. So they're teaching these kids how to build a socialist world, and what they're teaching these kids is that in the socialist world where they have equity, which means everyone will have everything they need, there will be no police because there will be no crime because everyone has everything they need, and there will be no banks because there will be no money. They're very literally talking about replacing that entire system. And so when you're talking about like renting out homes, that's not something they think should happen. They think that everything should just be provided for free.
Wow. Now, University of California is a big problem in a lot of this stuff, to tell you the truth, especially their education schools there. And nobody seems to be stopping that runaway train. It's been for quite a while. So they have a class there teaching that too. Now, the other thing is, so we're seeing these, I think they're color revolution organized by NED and CIA and other people, but these color revolution model where we have these uprisings every once in a while, are they involved in these? These are very well organized. They pay these people. A lot of these protesters aren't just, you know, randomly organically joining. Are they involved in that, or their protests and stuff separate?
If they're involved in it, it's not because they're getting paid. They believe this. This is not a job for them. This is not something that they don't really believe that jobs should exist, to be honest with you. Right. So it's not something that these particular people would do for any sort of monetary compensation. Right. But they are organizing. They are the organizers of all of the pro-Palestine protests that you see.
That's what I thought.
All the pro-Hamas stuff on college campuses. These are now again. There are hundreds of different radical revolutionary socialist groups. So I'm not suggesting every single one of them is involved in everything, but by and large, those are the types of people that are doing those types of things.
Right. And it doesn't matter which cause it is, it appears, because it appears to be the same people. I see, I've gotten some information from people that they're organizing right now, a whole new uprising in the summer called hashtag demand citizenship, where they're going to demand citizenship for everyone that's come into this country. They're changing language. The Biden regime put out that you can no longer call them illegal aliens. You have to call them non-documented citizens, because the other side of that is because all people deserve human rights, which goes back to also the, fraud of the UN, where they're defending human rights and all of that, where that never really happens. Is that part of their thing, too, that human rights, that everyone, everything is about human rights and equal human rights? How do they define that kind of stuff?
Well, so they believe that when a society is built on equity, then everyone will have access to everything they need. So when they say social justice, that's what they mean. They mean like it's very literally from each according to their ability to each according to their needs. So it's not to say that you're going to get the same thing that I'm going to get. It's going to be that you get what you need and I get what I need, and everything is provided by the government. But back to this border issue, and I have them on video saying this, they don't believe borders should exist because they believe borders are a form of capitalism. And borders in the Marxist utopia will be abolished as well. Not only are the southern border with other countries, but I don't think there would be states as we conceive of them in the Marxist utopia, because they very literally don't believe in that.
Wow, it's amazing. But I did, because a couple people that had told me about, I knew it in New York, that they were organizing for this summer, another summer of love for undocumented workers to deserve citizenship, but that it's much bigger than that. And I think it's these groups that you're talking about that are the ones organizing some of this stuff.
Well, let me just go off that too, because I'm not worried about New York. New York is going to be the perpetual home of a lot of these things because there are just a lot of radical revolutionary groups set up there. Where I think they're actually going to pop off this summer is Florida. They've been teed up about Florida for a long time. They've been looking for excuses to organize there. There are all sorts of radical revolutionary groups that have been proactively organizing in Florida for, I mean, literally years, ever since Ron DeSantis started really pushing back on the woke stuff in schools. They've been really targeting it. And I've heard them say, and again, I have this recorded, that the minute that teachers start getting fired for this woke stuff in schools, they're flying people in. And I think they're going to do something this summer regardless. They're going to create some sort of crisis if it doesn't pop up naturally. But we did see with this young teenager that sadly died like a week or two ago, they're already trying to create a new kind of like trans or non-binary mythical figure like George Floyd. And I don't think that this teenager next is the thing that's going to do it, because it didn't catch the fire and there's too many problems with it. But they are going to be looking for something like that. And I think it's going to happen in Florida. And I've heard from a lot of conservatives in Florida saying that can't happen here. We've passed laws against it.
No.
Someone even said to me, like, we can hit them with our car, Carlin. Well, guess what, guys? These people are very willing to die for their cause. They are totally willing to be martyrs. And if you hit them with their car or with your car, that is actually best case scenario for them, because they're going to film it and put it all over TV.
That's so interesting what you're saying now, because a friend of mine, Joel Gilbert, made a documentary called The Trayvon Hoax. Not that he wasn't killed, but that they were looking and waiting for the right case to jump on and to exploit for the Black Lives Matter, that was really just about dividing the country again through the Obama administration and Soros and everyone. But like you're saying now, that died, they wanted to jump on that, but the story wasn't adding up. The story wasn't strong enough and it didn't get enough traction. I saw this week, it looked like Doritos has brought in somebody that is saying a lot of the things that you say about queer theory. And there's this whole debate right now about what I don't. Whenever I think of this, I think of the Dave Chappelle like alphabet joke when he's talking about the queers. But this is a real thing, and it's starting to. If there's debates about what queer theory is, that means that it's mainstream enough for people to try to like really decipher it. And you've broken it down pretty well. And it seems like a catch-all phrase, but what are they meaning when they say that? Because I'm seeing more and more stuff. I see it through you, and then I go and I check who's funding things, and then you see all the other stuff. But this is on the move, queer theory.
Yeah. Some people on the right like to call queer theory a Gnostic sex cult. I'm very sorry. It's not actually remotely that interesting. Anyone who says it's a Gnostic sex cult doesn't know what they're talking about. But what queer theory is the goal of it is to abolish the gender binary, which means men and women. And the reason they want to abolish the gender binary is because they believe that capitalism, defined as private property ownership, created the gender binary. The gender binary created the nuclear family, and the nuclear family is the reproduction mechanism for capitalism through this thing they call social reproduction theory, which basically means that social systems will reproduce themselves until they are disrupted. And so by abolishing the gender binary, which literally means making a world of non-binary people, every single time you hear the term non-binary, it means no binary. Right. So they're very clear with what they mean, but they believe that by disrupting the gender binary, they will disrupt the nuclear family, which will enhance their goal of trying to abolish capitalism.
We are right now in $34 trillion worth of debt. We have geopolitical chaos everywhere. The central bank digital currency is looming. The BRICS nations have expanded beyond Saudi Arabia and continue to expand. And all I know is that many experts keep telling me that gold and silver is the best way to hedge against inflation and to protect your savings going forward. Did you know you can convert your 401k and IRA into physical gold and silver today? It can be shipped direct to your door or stored in a secure location. So go to our partners page at themelkshow.com, fill out the form, and someone from Beverly Hills Precious Metals will get in touch with you right away to help you figure out the best course for you and your family ahead. Stay secure, stay safe, and prepare now. Now, dude, I know you watch them all and you've infiltrated it. These people seem very, and we just have to, because some, like you said, some people are calling the, when they say, oh, they're a cult or they're a death cult or they're this and that. The cult behavior are of people that are willingly and happily a part of the cult. Like I had a lot of friends that were in and out. There was a group that I won't say because I get attacked on the show every time that I, you know, claims to be a religion in Hollywood. But I assure you, it is, you can get in. It's very hard to get out. So when these people get into these groups, is there a mechanism there of keeping them? Is there a kind of a situation where if they want to leave the group that it's a problem? Do you know of that? Where, because if you try to break out of the one I'm talking about, they're going to go after you. They're going to try to destroy you, destroy your life. Are these people not like that? Cult wise?
That's actually a great question. And it's going to require just a little bit of explanation if you don't mind.
Oh, great.
So when you compare them to a cult, listen, when I say they're not a Gnostic sex cult, I have no problem with calling them a cult. It's just the Gnostic sex cult
right,
that
right.
I have a problem
with. Yeah, the eyes wide shut side of it.
Exactly. They're not it. That.
Right.
But excuse me. But what they very literally are a cult. I do believe that. They are indoctrinating kids from the time they are 5 years old. This is in every public school in the country. This is being taught to all of your kids across all of their classes, just little bit by little bit. So by the time kids graduate from high school, and certainly by the time they graduate from college, they are fully in the cult. I mean, a good like 80 to 90% of them really do believe these ideas. And maybe some of them grow out of it, but not in the big numbers that we need to see in order to be effective. Now, what happens when they actually get out into the real world? Well, right. What this group does is they bring people in and they, again, have all these different groups that people can join where they are constantly going to meetings, only talking to other people in the cult. They are constantly reading materials where they are only reading materials the cult provides. Literally, there are dozens of socialist book publishers and they all have book clubs that you can sign up for like $30 a month where you get a fresh batch of three new books every single month to kind of feed the cult mindset.
Right.
Now, in reference to getting out of it, it's actually really easy. You just leave. But it doesn't really matter if you do, because what people need to understand is, and this might be tricky for people to wrap their heads around, these are collectivists. To them, every single person is a faceless cog in the machine. You do not have an individual identity when you are part of the socialist cult, right? And so what happens when people want to leave is they very literally will like just replace you. They take out one cog in the machine, they will pop you in with another cog. This is why this movement is tricky for people to understand, because there's not one leader. And that's the difference between this type of cult and the collectivist cult. There's not one leader. The leaders are kind of like a class of intellectuals and academics and authors, the people writing the books, the people who are actually creating the ideas that are being disseminated out through these book clubs, through these meetings, et cetera, et cetera. But if one of them kind of goes off the reservation, it's actually very easy to just take them out and put someone else in their place. And then you never hear from the people that left again, because again, the cult is providing you with all your information. So it is actually very easy to leave. But when people are in it, you have to understand that you're only ever talking to other people in the cult. So you don't have any sort of outside influence of information. And so the hardest right. part of leaving is gaining access to that different perspective and allowing yourself to think about that different perspective, particularly when we're talking about people who've been indoctrinated since they were 5 years old.
Yeah, when it's so submersive, I only know from that, trying to save one friend in LA from what I think was a cult, was that their whole life was there. So when they left, it's very isolating. It's like, you know, when you meet somebody, I've tried to also help people get out of the sex business in an industry. And when you get out, you think like, oh, now they're great and they're going to get healthy and all that. And then it becomes like, well, that's all they knew. So, you know, it's very easy for somebody to lure them back in after a certain time of being out, because they become isolated or lonely, or they, you know, people tend to go back to what's normal, and it could be very hard. So we have to remember that, you know, the indoctrination. And it's interesting what you say about that same situation I knew I dealt with in California, was the mailers and the mailing. I mean, I could move anywhere in the world and this group will find me and start mailing me stuff within 2 days. They must spend billions of dollars if they're finding me and I never really had anything to do with it. So there is that constant feeling of the next meeting or the next phone call or somebody's checking in or you're getting something in the mail. And it's like, you know, these days you don't get it that much in the mail. So when you get it, you're so excited. I mean, there is a whole like benefit reward, probably psychological, like dopamine hit when you're like in this kind of situation and you get invited or pushed up or, you know, that's another side of this, that there's this got to be a psychological benefit to being part of this.
Oh yeah. You feel like, I mean, listen, I like I said, I've been undercover at their events. They're really nice. They're fun events to go through. Everyone treats you nice. When they thought I was a socialist, like everyone was nice to me. Like you're like, and so they really do take care of each other. And I really do think there is a lot that we can learn from how they operate as a group, from how they work through problems. They don't do the infight, the public infighting that the conservative right does, yeah, like at terrible. All. And it's not because they don't disagree. They do disagree, but they literally have a manual. I'm not kidding you, Mel. It's like this thick. It is like thicker than the Bible. I saw an in-person copy of it in their bookstore. And this is how they have like all these written procedures for here is how we work through conflict. Here is how we work through problems. Here is how we correct members of the group when they go off the reservation and right. all this stuff. And there is a lot that we can learn in terms of how they speak to each other, how they work with each other. The cult has gotten as powerful as it's gotten for a reason. They've been doing this for a really long time. They figured it out, and they don't just kick people out willy-nilly. They create a social system around the person where there are incentives for them to do the right thing.
Right.
And to stay. They have no reason to leave.
Right. And I mean, that makes sense. And also, you know, the other thing we have to realize is that this is a very technology-based world. Have they... they still meet in person. They still actually have real books. There is a whole nother thing to this about decentralizing. A lot of people I do shows with, especially I do shows with some anarchists, with some libertarians, some other people that would never vote in a million years, never have, never will. And a lot of them talk about like, you know, that they just don't, they're decentralized. They don't want anything to do with the government, all of that. And so every aspect of, but these people are the opposite. They want to be hyper-centralized, correct?
No, they're actually incredibly decentralized. Like I said, they have all these little groups that are all over the country, and some groups play nicer together than others, and some groups just don't talk at all. But okay. but where you are right, and where what I think again is a great benefit to them is they do meet a lot in person, and right. so they have there are socialist or revolutionary bookstores in like every major city in America. Not like they're just selling books. They're having events at those bookstores. They're having meetings at those bookstores. There are groups like I often talk about this group out in Seattle called Red May. Red May is a radical revolutionary socialist group where every month for May is my favorite month on my channel because we watch so much socialism content that Red May produces because they're doing all these events all over Seattle and they live stream them on the internet. And so they're bringing people in that way. They have conferences. They have they actually socialists. It's funny. Like I've written two books and I've written for major book publishers. I never got to do a book tour. Socialists still literally do book tours where they go around to all the radical revolutionary bookstores and they right. talk about their books and they distribute their ideas. They do all the old school thing. They do pamphleting.
Right.
They create zines. They teach people how to create propaganda. So in this very digital world, they do things digitally, but there is a high emphasis on the tactile in-person experience as well. And I think, again, that's another reason why they've been successful.
I do too. I think it's so powerful. I have a book coming out. A big part of my book is about meeting in person and reestablishing relationships. You know, a lot of people think technology, especially social media, has brought us closer. I think it's brought us way farther apart. There's not authentic interactions. There's not like deep connections to people. Anyone can be anyone online. Meeting somebody in person is a totally different energy exchange that people should look at. Now, I was looking up some of this stuff in preparation for our show, and I found this group, the People's Forum. And what bothers me about this group is that they're loaded. They got tons of money. Yeah. And even Goldman Sachs Philanthropy Fund is funding them. They were behind the Women's March, March for Our Lives, the Keystone Pipeline stuff. They consider themselves socialist as well. But they're very, very well funded. Are these groups getting any outside money that you know of? This one obviously is.
Yeah, some of them for sure are, but a lot of them aren't though. So that the People's Forum in New York, that is a forum that I've watched a lot of their videos on my channel. I followed them. I wouldn't consider them to be as far left and radical as some of the groups that I follow. I consider them to be more of like, there are certainly socialists in that group, but there are also just kind of like a lot of well-meaning progressives in that group. Okay. And these are like, these are kind of like older hippie socialists that became socialists in like the 60s or 70s or things like that.
Weather Underground, Spawn.
Yeah. And they do like what they tend to talk about is more like the theoretical framework. I don't see them doing a whole lot of activism and stuff like that. But you're right that they are very well funded. And I think the fact that they are a little bit more palatable and less revolutionary is why they're able to be so well funded. But a lot of these groups, and actually the group that just launched the Revolutionary Communist Party of America, they specifically state as part of their organizing principles that they are not going to take outside money because they think it will inhibit their ability to be politically pure with their messaging. So there are certainly groups that are well-funded and are taking that kind of corporate money, but not the real revolutionary groups. Like, people really need to understand. And I know you can look at some of these people that are communists and they're wearing the hammer and sickle t-shirt and all that, and they're waving the flag. And you might look at them and say, they're mentally ill and they don't actually believe this. And I hear this from conservatives all the time. They don't have jobs. How are they going to do this? This is their identity. This is who they are. This is what they believe. And they will forego what could probably be millions of dollars in funding to allow them to keep a message that to them is deeply politically pure with what they believe. And people need to start taking this seriously because these people are very literally willing to die for what they believe in.
I would say, honestly, I have to say, because I've said this a lot about, I don't believe in either party. I don't believe in either side at this point. I think that they're all a bunch of criminals as far as I'm concerned. But I have to say that I really do think that what you're saying, and this is important, like you said, they have this whole manual that tells you how to deal with conflict, how to deal with inside, all these different scenarios laid out with the best way to handle it, because they do give a united front no matter what. Like, they don't let people from the outside kind of, you know, get at them or bother them. Because in the videos that I watch with you, these people don't, they seem very united. And also, like you're saying, the one thing is, I think that if they took outside money, corporate money out of all politics, we might actually be able to have a country that was running, functioning in any way, because I believe that both parties are total frauds because of lobbying, because of corporate money, because of donors. Like, that, if all that stuff, and NGOs that are funded by billionaires that don't pay taxes on NGOs that are really just, you know, doing their bidding for the multinational corporations. So I like their idea of having no money, no outside money. It'd be great if everyone did that and everyone was funded by the people that are involved, and we'd have a lot better chance. So there are things you can learn from them, as you say, oftentimes. Now, what is online? I see a lot of people really do get what you're saying. What are the main bullet points of what is being said out there that is, I would say, and I'm not going to say dangerous, but is weakening the ability? Because I say, if you don't know your enemy, you can't fight at all. You're not fighting anything. So what are the misconceptions out there that you think you see the most, that you think, oh, well, you know, these people are growing, and nothing's changing because you're not doing X. What are those specific things that are being spread that are false?
You know, Mel, about 3 years ago, I stopped listening to other political pundits and I started focusing in, and there's a point I'm telling this, but like, I started focusing in entirely on watching leftist trainings. I started with diversity trainings. I started with college classes. Then I kind of worked back into the far left radical revolutionary socialist thing. And I kind of lived for 3 years in this little bubble where I wasn't listening to anyone else. I was literally just listening to the left. Now, I have recently emerged from that bubble and I recently started listening to some of the things that conservative commentators and influencers are saying. And I'm not going to name any names. I don't want to embarrass anyone, but it is extremely obvious to me that the people who are teaching the conservative right what the left believes do not actually listen to the left. I have listened to thousands of hours of these people, and they are very clear about what they believe. And then I go on Twitter and I see the news stories that are being covered by these conservative organizations, and they are completely unhinged from what the left is actually talking about and what the left is doing. And what it is, it's a conservative interpretation on some some kind of like high level idea of what they think the left is doing, usually grounded in TikTok videos or something that went viral on the internet. And those things that go viral on the internet usually are not real. They're not actually right. The core of what the left is doing. And so what I see and what I get very frustrated with is just, it is extremely dangerous to think your enemy is over here doing right. this thing.
I agree.
When in fact your enemy is over here doing this other thing. And I know what the enemy is doing. The enemy is trying to abolish capitalism, which they define as private property ownership. They're trying to abolish the gender binary. They're trying to abolish the nuclear family. They are very clear about this. They are trying to very literally right now organize across the country to overthrow the United States government. This is not theoretical. They're telling us how they're doing it. And what I see reflected in conservative media does not reflect any of that. So what I would say to people is, if you find people talking about race when it comes to the left, I understand why you think they're against white people. That's not what they're against. If you find people saying they hate all men, okay, I understand why you might think that, but it is way deeper than that. If you find people saying that trans people are destroying the world, okay, I understand why you think that, but it's very, very deeper than that. And so we've got to start going several layers underneath, because until you guys get to the root cause of this problem, they are going to continue to win. And if they win, not only are you going to suffer, but your children are going to suffer far greater than you. And the greatest fear that I have, Mel, is I know people who have had their kids taken away by the government because of the attacks that are happening on parental rights. This is going to start happening more and more and more and more and more. And if so, people don't start taking this seriously, they're very literally going to get their children taken away from them. Remember, parental rights are considered to be private property that the left wants to abolish. That's where all those ideas are coming from. You have to understand what you're fighting if you're going to defeat it.
Now, these people, have they infiltrated the Democratic Party? Have they infiltrated the any of those, or do they not infiltrate? Do they try to recruit in there, or no, they keep to themselves?
Oh. No, they certainly try to recruit. Like, they will try to recruit anyone. But like, so how the left feels about, okay, so first of all, people need to know, like, the left doesn't even talk about the conservatives or the political right or the Republicans.
I know, I told people that because of you. Like, stop yeah. sharing it. I understand you think you're making a difference, but you're not. They actually like it.
Oh, they love it. They love all the crazy stuff. They use it to rile their people up. Right. So they actually, the left is far more have far much more acrimony for the Democratic Party and what they call the neoliberals. They do not like them at all. They don't like the Democratic Party. They don't like the progressives. They do not like the Democratic Socialists. Again, this new Revolutionary Communist Party was launched specifically because they hate the Democratic Socialists of America. Now, that said, do they try to recruit from there? Oh, they'll try to recruit anyone. They will talk to anyone, and they're very actively working to try to pull everyone on the left even more far left right. than they were before. And they'll try recruiting in independent circles. They'll try recruiting yeah. in libertarian circles. They do not stick to their own when it comes to like recruiting. They're very serious about growing their ranks, but are they infiltrating the Democratic Party? Here and there, kind of, but not to any significant degree, because most of what they do to gain power is actually more about institutional power than it is political power.
Yeah, because what bothers me the most, at least with what I do, I call opposition playbooks, and I put them on my resource page, and I say, just go read what they're saying, and then you don't need to take it from me. You don't even have to do your own research. If they put it out there, and that's especially for all the people that are behind Agenda 2030 and the full track and trace surveillance technocracy that they'd like us to live in, and which is very different than the people you're talking about. Now, but it is real, and they do talk about it, and they don't hide it. And enough people don't do that, because the big influencers on, especially the right, they think they know it all. They talk about the Great Reset like it's da-da-da. They don't get the whole surveillance state. They don't get that it's already built. They don't get that they don't care. People are still thinking about a plan. And I'm like, listen, the people that are running this, the parent company, they think they're the parent company of planet Earth. They don't care about people at all. Like, you know, they're trying to blame this person or that person. And I'm like, no, no, no. It is they don't have allegiance to a flag, to a country, to a religion, to a race. No, they really are like what they describe in 1984 as the state is the state. But both of these have it. Now, in terms of children and all of that, is this a situation that they believe that they assign the life path, the life goals to the child at a young age, and then they're on that path? Do they encourage creativity, you know, finding your own way, your own purpose, all of that? Or do they look at it that they choose, because I've seen this with cults, where they choose your path for you?
That's a great question. I think they actually do encourage a lot of creativity. The biggest thing with children is that they believe that under our current capitalist system, children are the private property of their parents, which makes them, in the minds of the socialists, exactly like slaves. Right. And so they believe it's their job to liberate children from being the private property of their parents. And when they do that, the children will belong to the collective. I have heard socialists actually at the Socialism 2023 conference that I went undercover at talking about how they believe children should have multiple sets of parents. We're seeing these things, the attacks on the nuclear family in terms of creating families of choice. Polyamorous families, polyamorous couplings are actually very big among the socialist left. And that's not to say that everyone and that's not to say that everyone who's polyamorous is a socialist or in a cult. I know actually perfectly normal people who are polyamorous. I'm not going to out them or anything, but they're fine. But like, there are a lot of socialists who are polyamorous, and it's just, it's something that they're actively pushing. In fact, Somerville, Massachusetts became the first town in America a couple years ago to provide legal benefits for polyamorous couples. They actually just did a non-discrimination law last year where now you can't fire someone for being polyamorous. And so we're going to start seeing a lot more stuff like that. Wow. And so, when it comes to kids, I do actually think that they do want kids to be themselves. They want kids to be creative. They want kids to go in whatever direction they want to go in, but they do not believe in parental rights. They believe that children can make their own decisions, and that includes decisions about what gender they are and when they're ready to start the gender transition process. And as a reminder, these people do want to eliminate the gender binary. That means eliminating men, eliminating women. Everyone is non-binary. Everyone is gender fluid, constantly changing gender and stuff like that. So the people that I research, these are the people that are pushing gender ideology into schools. These are the people who are actively attacking parental rights. These are the people who are giving hormones to your kids, stuff like that. And so that's all part of this larger picture of kids are not the private property of their parents, and they belong to the community, and everyone can raise them, sort of thing.
Yeah. Did you see that thing that just came out? It was like the WPATH documents of this this group. What are they called? They're I guess that stands for trans. It's some kind of trans.
It's WPATH. WPATH is like the world organization that provides guidelines for like transgender surgery or whatever.
Yeah. Are these people that believe in this? Because when I was looking through these files, I mean, it's like literally doctors, psychologists, all that are talking as, it sounds like what you're saying, like they're talking as, you know, very frustrated that the parents are even involved. You know, what do I do with this 13-year-old? They're talking about some kids that are mentally ill. They know they're mentally ill, but they still don't want to gender confirm. A lot of things in there also are about not about beating the natural puberty process to the punch by giving the drugs. So are these aligned? Are they accidentally aligned? Are these people that are also in the group you're talking about, are they also becoming therapists and psychologists?
Yes, they are absolutely becoming therapists and psychologists. So there are a lot of radical revolutionary socialists who are pushing these ideas, who do adhere to the WPATH guidelines, and WPATH is kind of like their thing. I'm not sure. So I know about the documents you're talking about, and I haven't had a chance to take a look at them yet. Yeah. I'm not sure how much the organization is explicitly involved in this, or if there are just a lot of socialists involved in that organization and are bringing their ideas in. I suspect that that's kind of the case, is that there are a lot of extremely left-leaning people involved in this organization. I know a lot of them. Like there's a professor of history at John Hopkins University named Jules Gill Peterson. Jules Gill Peterson is a transgender person that I have on video encouraging people to self-administer their hormones, which is a whole other nightmare for another day. But they adhere specifically to the WPATH guidelines. headlines. And so I have seen this show up in a lot of the revolutionary groups.
Yeah, when I was looking through it, a lot of the language that you talk about or that I see on your show was the same language. And I was thinking, this is probably people that are going through universities as socialists and all that, but the psychology program, because some of them have PhDs and this and that. So that might be, because we talked about the education schools at the academic level, at college level, but most people aren't really looking at the psychologists and sociologists and those people.
You know what's funny about this is, so socialist psychologists, and there are socialist psychologists, are very Freudian. They are all obsessed with Freud. They're psychoanalysts. And I actually recently did a story on my Substack called The Polyamory Therapist, because how we mentioned like polyamory is something they push. There are very literally queer psychotherapists that treat polyamorous couples and do all this other stuff. So, and they're all over the country. There is a shocking amount of these people. I've covered some of them on my Substack. I'm going to be covering more of them because these are some of the craziest people you've ever seen in your life. And not only are they providing therapy, some of them are actually treating your kids and training therapists how to treat your kids.
Yeah, because I've been warning people for 3 years. Basara, when he went in there, and they teamed up with Planned Parenthood and a bunch of other people to announce that they were going to send 60,000 counselors around to K-12 schools in America. It was actually a part of an executive order on education. And I just saw last week that they're going to be deploying them throughout the country. And I'm pretty sure that they're all part of the group that you're talking about. And then I saw this document and I'm like, oh wow. And they also, I saw, want to be able to if they see fit, prescribe medication, prescribe hormones, prescribe all this stuff at school. Are these community schools? You see that around a lot, these community schools. Is that part of this path too?
Some of them are. There are certainly community schools that they've created. That does tend to be among the Black socialist part of it, though, and like the abolition socialist, which is it's usually like the Black feminists. And to be honest, like, I'm not as concerned about them. They actually usually tend to be kind of like, it's like you don't want to piss off a Black woman, right? Like they're kind of like more like this with the kids. But like they are involved in it. I wouldn't say to any great extent. But what I will say on the therapist piece of it, like, I would recommend people go onto my Substack and look at the polyamory therapist article. And the reason I say that is you've got to look at the bios of your therapist, the kids, the people that are working with your kids, because these people have very specific things they put in their professional bios. And I'm telling you, you can identify them like that when you know what to look for, but you have to know what to look for in order to be able to do that.
Right. Well, they're deploying them in September of 2024 all over the country through this group, this plan through the Department of Education. And that's what people need to do, is what you said. They need to read your Substack. And then when they assign these counselors to your school that are supposedly they're basically pitching them as partners of the parents, all of the stuff that you've taught me. I'm looking at this. I'm like, oh, my God, this is that, and they're not even hiding it anymore. So you really do have to look at that aspect of it. Now, let me ask you, there's a bunch of books out there that are actually mostly by white liberal women, or supposedly liberal women, like White Fragility and how to lessen your privilege and all of that. Are those women part of this too? They're usually white liberal women. Yeah. That whole white fragility movement, or there's somebody who teaches, I saw a course to teach women white women how to lose their bias and privilege. What are those people? Are they related to this movement?
Yeah, they are, but it's kind of like they're a couple steps down in the movement. They're not they're the useful idiots of the movement. Okay, usually people. These are usually like well-meaning progressive people who they want to do the right thing, and they've been taught by everyone in their life that they need to do this in order to do the right thing. And so they get themselves into the mind frame of doing it, and then they start teaching it, and so a lot of them become extremely militant about it and unwavable. But what people, and honestly, that was the first group that I started looking at back in 2020 when I started really, or 2019, when I started really getting into a lot of this stuff. But what you realize when you are in the bigger picture is those people are like several layers down. Right. And it's kind of like, those are not the ones driving the agenda. Those are the ones that several years after the fact are kind of making money and building careers on the agenda that's already been set by others.
Yeah, I see that.
So I would say don't dismiss them. Look at what they're doing, kind of like compare it to like the socialist language that I can teach you or people can find out about on your show. And just like make sure you know what you're talking about. But usually those people are like useful idiots. And Robin DiAngelo, who's the woman that wrote White Fragility, is a perfect example of this, because Robin DiAngelo a couple of years ago started being really inconvenient for the left because she got caught too many times on video saying all white people are racist. And have you know, she's like, she's basically disappeared off of the face of the earth. Her last couple of books did not do well, especially compared to White Fragility, because she was no longer useful to them. So what did I say earlier? When someone stops being useful, they pick them up, they move them out, they put someone else in their place.
It's funny you say that, because so did Ibram Kendi has also become a problem. They're dismantling. There's all kinds of problems coming out of his BU, you know, collective over there, where it looks like the same thing. They divided, and now that they don't want that anymore, because what you've been yelling at from the rooftops all this time is it's not about race, and that is a cover, and that it's really about capitalism. And, you know, and they still are, you know, it's nerve wracking when you see the FBI and DOJ and everyone. You know, I'm sure there's a State of the Union with this, whoever this person is that's running our country. And they're going to all talk about how white supremacists are the problem. And I think they're just glomming on to what you're talking about. And they don't really know about what you're talking about. That they really think that these people are all against white people, so they're a good chunk of people that can promote the message or something. What do you think the correlation is between, you know, the Biden regime and the FBI, and obviously the 26-year-olds who are writing the Biden Twitter feed or the FBI's Twitter feed that is so racist? What do you make of that? Do you think they don't really understand that they're connecting it?
I think that they do understand. And the reason I say that is, as I said at the beginning, I started my journey into this stuff by watching diversity trainings, like all that kind of useful idiot stuff. In every single one, well, maybe not every single one, but a good 90% of them, they talk about capitalism, and they talk about how capitalism is related to whiteness. And so these ideas are like, it is known on the left that when they are talking about whiteness or white supremacy, that is a reference to systemic racism. In 2020, the left very literally changed the dictionary definition of racism to include systemic racism or institutional racism. Now, people are getting caught up on the race part of that, and what they're missing is the system part of that. The system in systemic racism is capitalism. The institution in institutional racism is capitalism. And so when they're talking about, and this is true of Joe Biden too, abolishing white supremacy, what they mean is the system that upholds racism, which is capitalism. And so on the left, they do know what this language is. And I understand that that's confusing for people who don't know what it is, but the people who are most confused about this are people on the right who think this is about skin color. I have the left on video 19 ways from Sunday, not just socialists, but just like normal kind of like white liberal ladies saying it's not about skin color. It's about capitalism, because they all understand this.
From our farms to your family, all organic protein, fruits, vegetables, gut health, immune support, and so much more. We have products for weight loss and collagen and muscle building, products for children, athletic performance, and 30-day programs for just $12 a day. You can save $50 on your first purchase of $75 or more with the code MelKWellness. Go to the MelKShow.com partners page and check out MelK Superfoods today.
Why do you think that just an easy way to get people riled up? Why not just say you're against capitalism?
Well, because again, the left understands what the language means. They understand that when someone says white supremacy, they mean capitalism. It's the right who does not understand what the language is. So you're asking, it's like, why does someone speaking French speak French when they could just speak English? Well, because they're speaking French and they understand.
They're speaking to their people that understand them.
They're speaking to their people. They're not speaking to you, right? They don't care what you guys think.
And then they have the people that are on the other side getting all riled up thinking it's about race. So it works even better.
And then they use the reaction of the right against them.
Emotionally.
They know that this is not about race. They've always known, unless you are like the dumbest person.
I got to tell you, it's brilliant. because quite honestly, people, it's an emotional reaction when somebody says white supremacist. So they're getting you emotionally, they're riling you up, and they know that you don't know what they're talking about. And
that's
it's
exactly
really,
right.
It's really powerful and really, you know, I believe that a lot of what's going on is psychological warfare, cognitive warfare on a very high level. And this is that these people are very, very good at it. And that is why you're so important, why your voice is so important. Anything else you want to add? And then let's tell people how to follow you and follow your live stream. Rob is your biggest fan. I hear him watching you all the time. And it's just so funny. I'm like, are you watching Carlin again? He's like, you got to come see this. They're like, stop it.
Well, you know, what's funny is I find that, like, listen, my content is hard to get into because I really do just throw people in the deep end of watching Radical Revolutionary Socialists. But it gets addicting after a while. And you're like, what crazy nightmare are we going to uncover this week? Right. But what I will say is, like, the reason that the people on the right react the way they do when you have comments about the race stuff is because people really don't understand the language. I mean, it's natural when you're called a racist to be upset about it. But the cure to all of this is understanding the language of the left. And I do have a class on my Substack. Yeah. It is called How to Speak Socialist. People can find it. It is completely for free. It is also pinned at the top of my Twitter feed. Well, it was. It's in my Twitter highlights now, I guess. But like, if you go to my Substack, which is Carlin, carlyn.substack.com, go to the How to Speak Socialist section. It's right up top. You can also find it on my website, activelyunwoke.com. It's a completely free 2-hour course. It will give you an introduction to the language. And I really do believe, Mel, that like the more people that we can teach this language, the better inoculated we are to these games that the left does like to play. And people have got to stop reacting to them. They've got to start detaching and zooming out and looking at it at the bigger level, because they are winning and they are winning badly. And we are all going to suffer very greatly if they do. And so people have got to start taking this seriously. I will be more than happy to teach you the language if you want to learn.
Yeah, me and Rob are talking about just before the show, we want to set up for you to teach on a special Saturday night. We'll put your class, so you'll teach it on here, because I think it's super important. And like I said, when emotions get involved, these people like that. They like when you're shit, when everyone from Mount Walsh to every single person from, you know, Daily Wire to every person from Turning Point is sharing these videos. Now I look, because of you, I look to see what the people are saying that are in the, they love it. This is not helping. It is only making people more angry and blinded to the actual threat. And it is a real threat. And that's the other thing. I don't want people to kind of laugh and think it's fringe. What I'm bringing Carlin on to do is to tell you, this is not fringe. It's a real threat. We are seeing our country being controlled demolition, as I call it, from within. And this is a big piece of the puzzle. And I'm so grateful for your work. Again, tell everyone where they can find you, how they can follow you, how they can watch your show and all that great stuff. I have your Substack, so we stay up on that too. Everyone should do that. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me streaming on YouTube, on X, on Rumble, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. We do Socialism Saturdays on Saturday at 6 p.m. So I stream 6 days a week on those platforms. You can find me on Twitter at Dr. Carlin B. I'm shadow banned right now, so you actually have to put Dr. Carlin B in directly. That's the way it goes. You can find my website, activelyunwoke.com. And the biggest thing to do is subscribe to my Substack, because you can get free updates, carlin.substack.com. And I'm going to be going undercover again soon, Mel. Great. So I'm going to have
went undercover probably to the Trump rally and got all that press for that. You are very good at that. You are good at going undercover. You are a real champion, which we need more of that. And I wanted to say also to people, so you never have gotten a strike or anything on YouTube?
I've gotten strikes before, but I don't have any right now. No,
they've never done anything to you. That's interesting. They probably like I'm saying, these people like that banned. You're sharing their stuff.
I am shadow banned to high heaven on YouTube. I actually get many views on some of my Rumble videos now that I do on YouTube. I have like over 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. I haven't grown in years because
But whatever, they're going to up this stuff. So everyone, make sure that you subscribe to her Substack everywhere else. Go find her on Twitter. I share a lot of her stuff too. Also remember, I have a very shadow banned, unable to grow. They never gave me back my original Twitter. So don't tell me that that's a free speech platform. Never. So I had to start over. So at Mel Kay Show. And also if you like the show, share it, share her work. Very important that we stop fighting the wrong battle and start really, you know, being a little smarter, a little braver, a little louder, and not be afraid, because intimidation here is a big deal too, because the language they use makes you feel like you can't really talk about it, and you prove that you can. So thank you, Dr. Carlin. We'll see you again, and we're going to work out how to do a class, and everyone's going to be blown away, because once you learn the language, there's so much you've taught me that I see all the time now, and I'm like, oh my God. And Rob will be like, Carlin talked about that. Thank you so much. So great.
Thank you, Mel. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. See you soon. Did you know that there are more than 60,000 known chemicals in tap water, and the EPA only tests for 91 of them? This is why we're so grateful that we partnered with Healthy Hydration. They offer whole home water filtration, shower filters, under-the-counter pre-filters, molecular hydrogen water machines, hydrogen water bottles, and so much more for a healthier home and family. So go to themelkshow.com and click on our partners page and check out Healthy Hydration and everything they have in store for your health and wellness today. It's that time of year again. People are getting sick. They're getting the flu. They're getting the cold. They're getting all different kinds of things. And I have always been very grateful for my friendship with Dr. Zelenko, Dr. Z. And though he's not with us anymore and I miss him every day, he has left behind the best remedy to me for anything that ails you, and that is Z-Stack from Dr. Zelenko. There's Z-Flu, Z-Stack, and Z-Kids. There's also many other products there. It's all about naturally boosting your immune health and fighting anything that comes your way. Dr. Zelenko is ahead of his time. He is out there fighting for us still to this day, and he's left behind the best gift. The gift is your health. So go to MelKDrZ.com, or you can go to my partner's page at themelkshow.com, click Dr. Z or Z-Stack. Better health for us all awaits. Thank you, Dr. Zelenko. Mm-hmm.